behavior, University of South Carolina, and by my calculations, that means she's done with classes and gets to focus wholeheartedly on the dissertation, which is the fun, easy part, right? And so, you know, I think it was Judy who talked earlier about people go to these websites and they look at things, but it's hard to always know what's there. You know, what kind of information are they being exposed to? And so, you know, what Tracy is going to talk about today is a content analysis of the information that is out there on YouTube related to prostate cancer. And so I'm going to turn it over to her to give us more detail.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Doug. So this time last year, I was working with one of my colleagues who is somewhere in this room, but I don't see him right now. Oh, he's waving his hand. He has a bow tie on. I'll let you all find him. We were coding videos, spending hours and hours and perhaps days doing this project. And the name of our project is A Content Analysis of Prostate Cancer Screening Information on YouTube. And as the other presenters, I don't have any relationships to disclose. And since I don't know how many of you all are prostate cancer specialists, I don't know that I would call myself a specialist, but I can give you a little bit of information about prostate cancer and prostate cancer screening. So if you didn't know, now you do, that prostate cancer is the most commonly diagnosed non-skin cancer among men, and it's the second leading cause of cancer death among men following lung cancer, and that's here in the U.S. And right now there's a controversy surrounding prostate cancer screening. Prostate cancer isn't one of the cancers that we say, go get screened, early detection, hurrah. It's a little bit more complicated. And so right now there's a group of organizations, specialists, physicians who say, yeah, you need to get screened. Screening saves lives. And then you have another group who's saying, well, hold up, not so fast. There are risks. There's uncertainties. Maybe you shouldn't. And so what was interesting about the timing of our project last year, it was at the same month that we were coding, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force made a draft recommendation regarding the PSA test, which is the prostate-specific antigen test. And they said, you know, they were speaking to physicians saying if you are talking with a man who has no symptoms and is in good health, do not recommend a PSA exam. And there was already a controversy surrounding prostate cancer screening, but that kind of intensified it. And some of that controversy relates to the fact that I have on the PowerPoint this issue of false positives, and of course there are false negatives. But there's also a more complicated conversation related to treatment, and so if you find out you have prostate cancer, it's a slow-growing disease, it's a slow-growing illness, so perhaps it never becomes problematic and never becomes life-threatening. But if you get treatment, there are some side effects to that that are pretty, can have an effect on your a man's quality of life. So anyways, risks and benefits to prostate cancer screening. And so some organizations, such as the American Cancer Society, came out in 2010. They updated the recommendations to talk about shared decision making and to encourage men to make an informed decision, as Ellen was talking about, with their health care provider about whether or not they should receive screening. And as we know, part of being informed means having good quality information that you can understand. And we all know that a lot of people are now going online to get their information about health. Of adult internet users, 66% have searched for information online about a disease or medical problem, for instance, prostate cancer. And interesting, 24% of internet users have watched an online video about health or medical issues. And in this same Pew report, I didn't put it on the presentation, but 15% of internet users are going to social media sites, including Facebook, YouTube, blogs, to get health information. And so what we wanted to do was we wanted to assess the quality of prostate cancer screening information on YouTube. We know that with every year that passes, YouTube seems to just increase immensely in popularity with, 4 billion hits a day. And I also read that every minute, 60 hours of YouTube content is uploaded, which is just really remarkable. So if people are going online, there's a chance they're going to YouTube to find out more about prostate cancer. And so what we wanted to look at were the source. So who's posting this information? Is it individuals like me, or are healthcare providers uploading it, or news stations? The tone, is it a pro-screening, go-get screening message, or a neutral message, or an anti-screening message? And the breadth, is the information that's being presented enough information to make an informed decision about getting tested? And finally, the accuracy. So the information that is presented, is it accurate? And we kind of held up the American Cancer Society at their recommendations as the gold standard. And so we wanted to see if the information that was being presented aligned with what they were recommending. And moving on to the methodology, we used a string of keywords for our search. And once we got our search results, we sorted them by number of views because we really wanted to assess the quality of information that was being people were watching rather than the ones that were getting 3 hits, right? And we developed some inclusion criteria, so unique videos, because some videos did show up more than once, but we only coded them once. Videos that were in English and those that were less than 10 minutes in length. And we ended up developing quite an extensive code book. It had about 40 variables, so I'm only going to be presenting on a small subset of those variables today. And we ended up coding the first 90 relevant videos. There were two of us coding, so that would mean 45 apiece. I should say that we were both doing this as a class project, so we had, you know, a certain amount of time before our teacher wanted it to give us our grade. So that was part of the reason that we went with 90, and also after the 90th video, you know, your views really dropped significantly, so it didn't make sense to do them all, of course. And so for each one, we recorded the title, the URL, and just basic characteristics. And of course, we determined intercoder reliability before we began coding all the videos, and that was based on 10% of the total videos. And so once we coded all our information, we entered our information in SPSS, ran some frequencies and percentages, which brings me to the results. The videos were posted between May 2006 and October 2011, they received an average of about 3,400 views. And the videos range from 10 seconds to 10 minutes, so quite a range. And then the views range from about 2,000 to just over 87,000. So again, a wide range. And first I'll talk a little bit about the source. Most of the videos were posted by an independent or private organization or medical organization, followed by individual YouTube users like myself, nonprofit organizations that we identified as non-medical, and news organizations. And related to source, we also looked at format, and 26% of the videos we watched were presentations. So a lot of presentations that almost looked like a PowerPoint, but that had been uploaded. And related to that, it's not on the slide, but we did also code speakers, primary and secondary. And so for the primary speakers, 49% were physicians. So the people who were presenting were typically physicians, or the people who were leading the formal interviews were typically physicians or involved a physician. And then for tone, 54% were pro-screening, which wasn't too surprising. 44% were neutral, so this may mean that they talked about the risks and benefits, so they were neutral in that way about screening, or they may have not really had a clear pro or anti tone to them. And then only 2% were anti-screening. With the breadth, 68% included general screening information. So a lot of the videos were just go get screened. And if they're just go get screened, they don't have screening information, right? 61% had PSA information, but only 20% discussed the uncertainties with the PSA test. About a third talked about prevalence. 24% talked about PSA levels and what those mean and how they're related to screening. 23% talked about informed decision making. 19% talked about screening age. 17% talked about digital rectal exam. And then only 7% talked about the importance of making a joint decision with your provider, which was, you know, really what we were interested in. And I won't go through all of these points, but as you'll see, although the information was limited in the videos, what was presented was pretty accurate, actually. So that brings me to conclusions. The majority of videos did encourage men to get screened. And the videos provided limited information, particularly related to informed decision-making and shared decision-making, which, again, with the American Cancer Society, those were really the key components of their leading their recommendations. So it was pretty interesting. And this led us to say, okay, so YouTube, at that time, was not recommended as a reliable source for prostate cancer screening information. And I say at that time because the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force, their recommendation has now been finalized, and maybe the dialogue's changed a bit. And so, of course, that's a limitation with doing this kind of study, is a year later, if we did the same study, we might have different results. And then finally, a recommendation to health educators is that you can improve YouTube's information by posting videos that talk about informed decision-making and talking with your physician, which, of course, is a more complicated message than go get screened. So I think, of course, health educators are able to talk about complicated issues such as this, and we need to do that. And that's it. End. Should I just...